This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the Astros have a lot invested in Jose Abreu. We know this. 3 years, $58.5 million. They're a third of the way through the first season. They're one-ninth of the way through the contracted for Jose Abreu experience. It seems a little better lately. Finally hit a home run the other day. Had a double off the wall last night. Alex Bregman, do you think your teammate Jose Abreu is heating up?
Driving the ball to right field, just missed a homer today. Hit a line drive to right field. Big first run to tie the game. Good battle. And then the line drive to left center was crushed. I mean, it's about as good as you can hit a baseball, so. He every single day he shows up here, he works his tail off. He's an incredible teammate. And as we all know, when he gets hot, he gets super hot. So he looks really good and looking forward to it.
I hope, man, I'm not a hater, man. I hope I'm an Astros fan. I hope Jose Abreu, I hope this is what Bregman's talking about is real. Seth, this is how you know this is not just a slow start by a notoriously slow starter, right?
Yeah.
With Jose Abreu, because we've seen notoriously slow starters before. We just heard from one right there, Alex Bregman.
Oh, he's a notoriously slow starter.
Right, he's a notoriously...
Whatever, Brandy.
Kyle Tucker. It's a really good impersonation of you. Kyle Tucker, notoriously slow starter as well. We never, as they were coming out of whatever that slump was, pointing out and itemizing the hard-hit balls that they've had. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is... I said this yesterday, it's felt like Jose Abreu's felt like the little league kid that, wow, Johnny made contact. He hit the ball to the outfield.
Yeah. You're giving him like, oh, hey, you can build on that.
Yeah.
If you can do it once.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you can do it multiple times.
Which is why I'm super cautious about this right now, about getting my hopes up. You know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah.
I hope Bregman's right. And I hope everybody, you know, I hope Bagwell as kind of, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is. Like Bagwell taking up for Abreu on the broadcast last week was something that was a little like, okay, man, you kind of helped greenlight this thing. You know, felt like I was talking to a salesperson. You know, who's selling me a product.
I felt like it was hard for like Bregman was in a position where, or excuse me, Bagwell was in a position where, no matter what he said, it wasn't going to be received well.
True.
And yet, I did feel like I don't think he sounded condescending or anything. He didn't sound like he was saying, you don't know baseball. Or did he?
He has at times. I don't know if he did on the broadcast, but Landry's the one who's got all the audio for it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I guess I'm in a little bit of denial about it.
Yeah, I like Bagwell, you know, but he's, you know, he is tied to these moves. What I was going to say about what Bagwell said, I hope that Bagwell, the whole like, hey, man, if he just gets one, you know, he just gets that one good swing, that can just, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, basically like, boy, he just sees what it feels like. They say it in basketball a lot. Boy, you just watch the ball go through the hoop that one time, and that breaks you out of the slump kind of thing. I mean, it's a really kind of old school, cliched way to look at it. And yet, maybe this home run he had against Oakland, since then, by and large, he's started to make much better contact for the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, he's basically looking like he's like a almost like a Jose Abreu type guy or something.
He almost looks Like a former All-Star.
Much older, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that would be the... I mean, if for a while you could soothe yourself with comparisons to Yuli from last year, because Yuli struggled, and then was fine in the playoffs. But Yuli never struggled as badly as Abreu had struggled, who, you know, even as of last night at the fourth low... You know what? He had the fourth lowest OPS in the league, where I feel like a few weeks or a few nights prior, he had been the absolute lowest OPS in the league for people with a certain number of at-bats. So he's pulled himself up out of that.
He's not the worst anymore. Mm-hmm. It's good.
I have to believe, Sean, honestly. No, even if he ends up just being like a below-average baseball player by the end of the season, that it's still obviously a huge improvement over what we saw. He can't have gone from where he was to now the worst player in baseball.
No.
Like, it's just, I cannot believe that that's feasible. He has to be, at the very worst, I feel he has to be a below average baseball player.
The money is what hurts. If Abreu has power numbers like he had, look, if he puts up the same numbers he put up his last year with the White Sox, where his power numbers went down across the board, but his batting average was pretty good. Like, if you're getting the Jose Abreu of 2022, mm-hmm. It's like $19 million a year is probably a little pricey for that, but I'm cool with it. Like, it's the problem is when he's at this level and you're spending $19 million bucks, because you're spending $19 million on Abreu, you're spending $17 million on Lance McCullers to not do anything for you. You know, that's a big chunk of your payroll. It's either completely underperforming or you don't know if and Brantley's getting $12 million.
$50 million bucks.
Like,
okay, the last few nights maybe he's looked better. So like, I'll just take it back. I'll just go seven games. I'll look at his splits over the last seven games.
He's probably batting like .460, right? He looks really good.
That'd be a .130, Sean. He's batting a .130 with a .502 OPS over the last seven games.
What's he batting over his last one at bat? Leave 1,000.
Let me see where small his OPS starts size. Going up here, so I can get. Yeah, let me try to clear the decks here. Okay. Let me try to game the system as much as I can.
Yeah. Finagle. Let's hear it.
Yeah. I'm finagling. Hold on. It's going to take a little bit more finagling. Okay. So if we go back to just the last five games,
mm-hmm. That's got to be like .460, right? You know,
batting .133.
That's 3 points better than he was doing in the last seven games.
Do I have the right year here? Yeah, it's 2023. I'm just like, all the mistakes that I sometimes make. Is this a different Jose Abreu?
It's easy. No, you know what, not. Seth? It's easy to see if you have the right footprint of time. Yeah. Just see if there's one home run inside that footprint.
Okay, last four games, he's batting .167.
Okay. Yeah. That's since he hit the home run. Because he hit the home run four games ago.
Oh my god! Yeah, no, that's with that was the home run. The night he had the home run. Since then, since that night, he's batting .167.
Yeah,
770 OPS though. That's where that home run paid off.
That's
770. That's above average OPS.
Okay,
Sean.
I'm glad you said that. That's where I'm at with Jose Abreu. Like, I'm not going to look at the batting average. I mean, I guess OPS is in a way, kind of a way you're looking at the power numbers.
Nobody talks about batting average anymore, unless it's
not on this
130.
Show.
Yeah. If it's 130, you kind of talk about batting average. Yeah.
That's like with Chaz. Like Chaz, I know Chaz hasn't had as great a season. He's been banged up. Like, Chaz, I was a little surprised to see the other night, like, he was only hitting, like, .215. Because I'm like, man, it feels like Chaz has had some impactful swings this season so far. And then you look, and his OPS is, like, in the mid to high 700s. Like, Chaz is, when he swings, he gets his money's worth, you know?
Yeah.
Chaz hits for power. So that's kind of what Jose Abreu's last 4 or 5 days have been like. Yeah, okay. And I would say, too, just to add to that, you know, the .167 is what it is. The 770 OPS is obviously light years better than what he's been all year long. To Alex Bregman's point, yeah, he had a foul ball that was almost a home run last night, I think is what it was. He almost hit a home run last night. Like, it sucks that you're saying this in June about your $20 million investment at first base, but I'm trying to stay optimistic about this thing. And so I will say, yes, the outs have been harder hit. The double actually looked like a real double last night. You know, it was a line drive off the wall. It wasn't some squibber to, or some bloop to some part of the field. He's hitting them where they ain't, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. He's started his ascension to a below average baseball player.
If he's, I'll take slightly below average from him right now.
But this is, man, if there's one cautionary tale, though, God, that we've learned from Houston sports, and I'm by no means saying that the Astros are the same as the Texans, like in any regard other than this. Man, just don't overestimate the moves you can make without a general manager around. There's just like you're gonna like, think about this for a moment. This is what drives me insane. These owners, these sports owners, like you pay somebody seven figures to do that job. Like, they're supposed, like, you are a billionaire. You've decided to pay somebody millions of dollars to do a job because they must be that important, that vital, and that qualified. All of a sudden, you lose that person who's apparently worth over $1 million a year to do that job. And all of a sudden, you think that somebody who's never done it before should do the job.
Yeah.
Or has never, like, even applied for the job or is qualified to do the job should do the job. It's just, it's the biggest departure from reality and straight thinking. Like, either you're wrong in allowing Bill O'Brien to do the job or you should never hire another GM again. Because why are you paying somebody several $1 million to do that job when clearly a rank amateur could do it?
Dude.
I don't get it.
It was, it was bizarre when it happened. It wasn't as bizarre with the Astros. Like, were we, in retro?
I know it was with me. I think it was even more bizarre because you just won a World Series.
Yeah.
You know?
Were you, like, but when O'Brien and Easterby were making moves, like, those were moves that at the time were going, what are we doing here? Like, what, you're trading Hopkins, you're gutting your drafts, what are you doing? Like, the first of all, the period of time where it was Crane and, I guess, by extension, Bagwell and Reggie Jackson and Enos Cabell running things was only a short period of time where we knew eventually, or we thought eventually, there'd be a general manager coming. And there was, probably sooner than we expected, they hired Dana Brown. I don't know, other than Montero getting $11 million a year, which I was fine bringing back Montero, I just thought it was pricey. I didn't have a problem with the two other big moves at the time. You know, Brantley, $12 million. And that's why I feel a little disingenuous going in on Jose Abreu as badly as I do sometimes. Cause I didn't think it was a bad move when they made it, you know, like they weren't doing things where I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing here? What's going on
with, Dana Brown? I guess, yeah, it was weird. It caught me by surprise a little bit when you said sooner than we expected, but they had kind of Jim Crane had almost made it sound like, hey, it might be like well into spring before we hire a GM, right?
There were rumors they might go with that structure for a year to wait out contracts of some other guys who might come available in 24. There were those rumors out there. So
I guess that's the thing that bothers me about the Astros moves was that it made, I felt like they made what they thought were conservative choices. Like, you don't want you're operating without a GM. You don't want to go out and do anything aggressive or anything. And I feel like they might have thought, like, okay, well, retaining Montero makes sense, but you paid way more than people thought you should have to retain him. Or you think, like, well, hey, Jose Abreu, he's a MVP caliber player. Look at him. Look at the back of the baseball card.
Yep.
When in reality, you know, paying a guy like that what you did for 3 years at his age is a pretty aggressive move.
At his age. That's the key part right there, at his age. Trailer Wheel and Frame text page 2117. I love all these guys. But what could we have if we cut the salaries of Uncle Mike, Lance McCullers, and Jose Abreu? I mean, I just did the math. It's somewhere around $50 million, a little under $50 million is what they add up to. I was thinking about this last night, Seth, as I was reading an article about Lance McCullers' injury woes. If Major League Baseball handed you a ticket and gave you amnesty to cut one contract, you know, you can get rid of one contract and cut them, and you're not on the hook anymore for the rest of the contract. Would it be Lance McCullers or Jose Abreu?
Oh, what's Lance's total?
Lance has four, including this season, he has 4 years at $66 million left on his deal.
Total. Okay, you'll get more out of Lance over that time. Ultimately, I'll be surprised if, you know, you get 4 years of health or anything whenever he comes back. But I think you'll get more out of Lance. He'll still be injury prone, but he'll still be young and productive when he's out there. Whereas with Abreu, I just can't say with confidence that he's ever going to return to being any kind of a threat. Lance will be, when he comes back later this season, he's going to be a threat when he's out there.
Yeah. If he comes back later this season.
When, Sean? when he comes back.
Are you, I mean, I it feels silly asking medical, hey, are you nervous about this? Like, we have no idea. We're not looking at the MRIs or anything.
Of course I'm nervous.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, no, the thing that makes me think about Lance as the answer to that question, my answer is probably Abreu, just because I still think there's a decent chance that he just might be closer to washed up than he is, like, snapping out of this thing anytime soon, is the just, it's always something with Lance. You know, like, it's, you can't plan, there's no planning you can do that involves Lance McCullers right now. None.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
And, that's where, and you've got pitching, you know? You've got pitching.
You have pitching, but you have, like, it's still, they've been walking a razor's edge in terms of managing innings, and, they're not able to go as deep into games as they were routinely with Verlander, although credit Framber and Javier for picking up the slack there. But I think, like, if there's one thing we've learned from this team since 2015, it's all hands on deck in the playoffs, and you can use them as creatively as you need to. So Lance, you might not be able to depend on him from 1 month to the next or one series to the next, but when he is available, you're going to win some playoff games because of him.
Yep.
You know, like, it's you just can't predict when those are going to be. Yeah. But the contract is already there. So there's nothing. If I have to choose between Abreu and Lance, I don't even have to think about it. It's Lance at some point in the next 4 years is going to help me win some playoff games.
You would keep Lance. You'd cut Abreu's contract. Yeah. I think so too. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. The Philadelphia 76ers have hired a coach. His name is Nick Nurse. You may have seen him win a title in Toronto. He was asked about James Harden. Does Nick Nurse's answer on James Harden at his at Nurse's introductory press conference yesterday shed any light on the chances of Harden becoming a Houston Rocket? And is it okay for two men to FaceTime each other? That is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Friday, Payne and Pendergast. Adam Spillane and Sean Bajani in for Landry Locker and John Lopez. They'll jump on at 10 o'clock today. The Sixers just hired a head coach. His name is Nick Nurse. And he was asked at his introductory press conference about free agent guard James Harden.
Do you want James Harden back?
James Harden's a great player.
That didn't answer the question.
Well, I would say this is that James has a decision to make, and I'd be very happy if he came back.
Welcome to Philly, Nick Nurse. You ain't Toronto
anymore.
What was
the original? What was the first question? Was it, do you want him back or are you going to get him back?
Play it again. Play it one more time.
Do you want James Harden back?
Do you want James Harden back? Yeah.
Do you want him back? So I feel like Nurse could have answered that more directly. If the answer eventually he was going to give is I would love to have him back, I feel like that's enough. That sounds like the same thing as, yeah, I want to have him back.
That tells me, maybe this plays into what my read on that whole cut was earlier in the show when we played it. My thought was, Seth, that maybe Nick Nurse on his first day on the job doesn't want to step on toes of a personnel decision. Like, this is a general manager and probably even an owner decision, James Harden, a max deal like this for an aging player. But I can't imagine that Nick Nurse took that job without having deep conversations about where the organization stood on James Harden. Like, I can't imagine that didn't come up when he's sitting with Daryl Morey talking about taking the coaching job. And, man, I wonder if there's actual debate going on internally. Like, if Daryl Morey told Nick Nurse, hey, man, we're going to do everything we can to keep James, then you're right. It's an easy answer to go, do you want James Harden back? Of course we do. As an organization, we do. That's why one of the reasons I took the job, we talked about James. I wonder if Philadelphia is having, at the very least, second thoughts about maxing James out, like everybody just kind of assumed would happen a year or so ago when James took a little bit of a hometown deal for a year to let them beef up the roster a little bit, and now James wants to get paid. So I wonder if there's a little bit of a struggle going on with what to do with James right now up there.
Well, and also, too, look, if Nick Nurse, the bigger question for Nick Nurse, if I'm Nick Nurse and I'm going into that situation, you have Joel Embiid. If you don't get Harden back, you've got room to maneuver. You know, you have space under the luxury tax, whether it's 1 year or 2 years or however long it takes to start filling in that void. You can do it. Embiid is a kind of planetary force that could lure other people there. So if I'm Nick Nurse, I'm thinking more about, like, okay, Daryl Morey will figure out a way to get people here. Mm-hmm. Daryl Morey will figure out a way. Maybe, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like this first year, but maybe it's James Harden. Maybe it's something that's maybe a little bit more appealing than James Harden. I just don't know what it looks like right now.
Yep. I don't know. Boy, I struggle with what the James Harden situation with the Rockets. It would be much easier if I knew exactly what the Rockets' stomach was for the price tag. Like, what are they willing to do to bring James Harden here? Or maybe not willing to do, I guess?
I guess I've tried to think about this differently with both DeAndre Hopkins and James Harden. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been thinking about, like, okay, how can I reframe this to try to maybe come at it from a different angle and see if I've got a blind spot? And I guess the question I'd ask myself and you is, okay, what's the worst case scenario if the Rockets sign James Harden and if the Texans sign DeAndre Hopkins? Like, not worst case scenario is in, you know, James Harden brings in some weird strain of gonorrhea and everybody dies. But, like, a realistic worst case scenario.
Basketball worst case, yeah.
Yes. Worst case scenario, if the Rockets sign James Harden, it's that they'll be a respectable franchise in terms of wins and losses. But if they gave him the 4-year max, you might end up putting a ceiling on yourself.
Oh yeah.
For just exactly how good you can be. And maybe you're putting it, the hazier part is, are you putting a ceiling on the development of some of your younger players because they're not necessarily going to be able to take ownership of the team. They're not necessarily going to have the best example of how to go about your business, all that stuff. But like worst case scenario, realistically for me, is that they'll be a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah.
And is that the worst thing in the world?
Well, I think here's the difference. The difference is that signing James Harden to a deal, even if it's not a max deal, even if it's a market level, you know, 30, 40 million, they've got 60 million in cap space. But even if you sign James to a 2 or 3 year deal, you're reducing your flexibility. You know, if you sign James, you've signed him to a max deal. Boy, you are committed to James Harden into his late 30s. For a guy who doesn't seem to prioritize conditioning all the time, you are investing in a guy into his late 30s. Then, Seth, you are, within a year or two, you're having to make decisions on Jalen Green pretty soon and what to do with him. You're going to have to make decisions on Alperen Şengün pretty soon. Jabari Smith will be right after that. Whoever this player is that you end up drafting with the fourth overall pick, you slowly have guys coming along who, if they develop, and that would be a good problem to have, but they're going to be looking for big contracts. I think that's, so we're talking about worst case scenario, is that, yes, I think you put a ceiling on yourself, you're using your cap space, your resources to improve the team on an older player, potentially on a max deal. The biggest thing, and this is just the difference between the two sports, whatever it is you're going to do with Hopkins, you can get out of it, and it's not going to, it's not going to drag your franchise one way or the other. The Harden thing has the potential to be an anchor on the franchise as a whole.
That's where, with Harden, the worst case scenario is what you just described, and a lot of that comes with a 4-year deal.
Exactly.
If you do a 2-year deal with James Harden, the worst case scenario really becomes, okay, Harden is old, he's ineffective, he gets injured a bunch, and you know, that, like, obviously the worst, if he doesn't play at all because he's injured, that's a really bad scenario. But otherwise, the likeliest worst case scenario is that the Rockets are a better basketball team, but not as good as you'd hoped with the extra juice of James Harden, but definitively a better team than they are now. I can live with that if it's a 2-year deal, because it's not going to hamstring the future. DeAndre Hopkins, I think the worst case scenario with DeAndre Hopkins would be more that you might be making an exception for a veteran player who doesn't check off all the boxes for what you're trying to establish right now in terms of culture and everything. So you'd be getting a quick fix on the football field, but that also, I think that quick fix might actually be detrimental to CJ Stroud in the long term, because it's just too alluring to have this guy who's got this huge catch radius. And even if he's not really, really open, if I just wait a little bit and throw to the sideline, he's going to pull it in. Kind of the way Deshaun Watson was with DeAndre Hopkins the first few years, that it might not be the best thing for the overall development of CJ Stroud, and yet you're also not going to be probably using DeAndre by the time you really are good.
Yeah, I think too that especially at this stage of his career, he's in his early 30s, that there's an, okay, is he worth it question you have to ask yourself with DeAndre when it comes to not practicing, you know, whatever you feel might negatively impact the culture you're trying to establish there. You're doing that with a first-time offensive coordinator, a first-time head coach. You know, I'll throw Jerod Johnson in there because he's obviously going to be a key part of you know, whatever game planning this offense does. And C.J. Stroud, too. You're kind of creating one more thing for a young coaching staff to manage that's probably more easily managed by, like, an Andy Reid, you know, who's had to deal with things. You know, like, is that something you want to do? Now, if Hopkins is going to go get you 105 catches for 1,300 yards, then yes, you manage that.
Yeah.
But he's not available all the time. You know what I mean? On a per-game basis, he's still pretty damn good. The problem is the number of games he's played. It's not the productivity on a per-game basis. He's still among the top 10 in the league in yards receiving per game. So,
somebody texted Seth, "It's been nice knowing you." What did I do? I wonder.
I don't know. That was 4 minutes ago.
4 minutes ago. What did I say 4 minutes ago? Is that when I started making an argument that, like, okay, under one scenario that it's okay for James Harden to be here?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, nice knowing. Yeah, maybe they're mad at you about that. Who knows? Charles
God
Barkley.
Forbid I was polarizing.
Charles Barkley. Well, this might be a polarizing take from Charles Barkley right here. Charles Barkley chopping it up on the set of TNT's NBA coverage. And they're talking about golf right here and a golf game that Charles is about to go out and play. But he, Charles establishes what he thinks is a societal rule here about FaceTime that I'm not sure Seth and I agree with.
Hey, the ball goes further.
We play tomorrow, it's going to affect them.
I cannot wait to play you tomorrow. It's great. You be sending me videos of your swing. Be FaceTime me. You know dudes don't FaceTime each other. That's inappropriate.
Really?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other, man.
What?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other.
All right, Chuck.
Okay, just telling you.
Okay. So dudes don't FaceTime each other. I almost feel like the implication that he said it's inappropriate. I guess the implication is that maybe you're a little less of a man if you FaceTime with other men. I don't know.
Dudes don't FaceTime other dudes. Yeah, that's his oldest man. That's his oldest old man take he's ever had. I think.
Is it really? And he's had a lot of them too.
Yeah, that's right up there with the concept of what a big man needs to be in the NBA. Like how a big man, they clung on to that for about 15 years.
You gotta feed the post. Don't FaceTime other dudes. That's terrible.
He's down there. Dwight Howard's up there running up and down the court, FaceTiming guys instead of backing guys up in the post.
That's right. That's right.
There's two things that Dwight Howard let Barkley affect him too much with. It was once when Dwight just needed to be fed touches in the post early in playoff games.
Yeah.
And then not FaceTiming.
That's right.
Notoriously.
A lot of people.
Not FaceTiming adults.
There were texters earlier in the show, a bunch of them that were agreeing with Charles on that one. I don't see that. Like I don't think it's a dudes don't FaceTime other dudes. To me, it's just like I'm not huge on it because I like my communication to be via text by and large. Yeah. You know?
The person that was said nice to know you was saying that I was probably going to get canceled over the hypothetical case of a super strain of gonorrhea that James Harden might accidentally bring back to the city of Houston.
That's right.
It's hypothetical. You don't get sued over a hypothetical scenario.
No.
It's just kind of like I never implied that he actually did that or has that or anything. Any one of us could come down with a hypothetical strain of fictitious gonorrhea, a super strain of gonorrhea.
Right.
That's just something that dudes do. Like that's what I would tell Barkley.
Seth will be here on Monday. Don't worry, Texter. All right. Final segment coming up of the week. Adam Spillane, Sean Bajani, in for the guys on In the Loop. We'll talk to those guys, obviously. We got a big weekend of baseball coming up here, man. We got a big game going on tonight over at Minute Maid Park, and today is a national holiday for some of you out there. We will explain next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Text message, trailer wheel and frame text page 7634. Seth, today is National Donut Day.
Oh.
Grab a dozen or two. I love this. Grab a dozen or two on the way home and thank me later, the texter says. As if Seth's never eaten a donut before. Hey, you should try these donuts. They're really good. Thank me later.
Having a National Donut Day is like having a... Oh, never mind.
Come on, finish strong, Seth. It's Friday, last segment.
It's like having a never. No, I don't want.
Can't
to.
Do it.
It's okay. gonna. It's gonna be taken wrong by everybody.
Okay.
Like everybody on either side of the aisle is gonna say it'll be. It'll be taken wrong by everybody. Yeah. So no, I'm not gonna say.
Okay.
It.
Are you one of those people like
it's
me?
Like having a national. It's like having a national. Upper middle class white guy day. Like, hey, you know who never gets enough respect? This guy. We need a day. Like people that don't, every day is donut day, you know? Like, it's every day is like a upper middle class white guy day. I'm fine.
Ben?
I'm doing fine. I don't need a day to recognize me. I don't need a day to recognize donuts. Like, when has a donut ever had it rough? Every now and then, ooh, new low carb diet fad. Ooh. Yeah, you know who doesn't give a damn? The donut eaters. Okay?
Society,
nobody,
yeah.
Nobody is out there saying, you know, the problem with these donuts might just be the carbs. If I could only find, you're just, leave it alone. National Donut Day.
I will say this, that, and I know that this is stupid. It's just flat stupid. And you know I've been trying to watch what I eat the last few years. You know, I dropped a bunch of weight, trying to keep it off. I've been pretty good about exercising, all those things. When there's a national anything day that's food related, I go eat it as if there's as if I get caloric immunity that day. Yes, I do. National Cheeseburger Day. Give me three. It's National Cheeseburger Day. I'm patriotic. I'm going to celebrate it. I guarantee you I'm going to go get a donut today now. Because I feel like I get caloric immunity on the national days.
Who declares a national donut day? Is there like a donut council or
That's
something?
That's a good question. Or any of these national days. You know, like every
the National Bakers Association?
Yeah, like everything. Yeah. Every day is like five different celebratory days, you know?
Yeah. What is it? What about just the English folk? What about like English Americans? That's what I am. Again. Oi, where are the Anglos going to be honored? Anglo-American Day, damn it.
Yeah.
It should be...
National Billionaire Day. Today is Hug a Billionaire.
When do I get my day?
That's right.
When is National Guy with Big Schlongs Day? That's my day. When is the...
Save that. That might exist. I mean, there's a day for
there's
everything.
There's always some like Cheetah Craft's husband, devastatingly handsome day.
Lane,
like,
yeah. Anyway,
where's the guy? When do the guys that are devastatingly handsome get their day, huh?
I feel like Lane is so devastatingly handsome, he just gets his own day. Like, it's just Lane Craft Day, you know?
Cheetah Craft's husband is a good-looking man.
He's a handsome man. Yeah, he is. I'm
you're like, but he doesn't get a day. Doesn't get a day. He's got to walk around with that stupid face 365 days a year without it ever
with
being
his hot wife. I know. Poor guy.
What a loser.
Seth, anybody that's going to celebrate National Donut Day, I know you have a recommendation locally here as to where to go get your donuts.
Yes. Any Cambodian donut shop.
Bingo.
Basically, yeah. There's Cambodian, there's a couple like Cambodian families back in the day that started donut shops, and they make apple fritters like nobody's ever seen. And basically they've helped other Cambodians. They've staked. What do you call it when you help somebody? You stake them.
You stake them. Yeah, it is.
Whatever
you
do,
stake them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that is. That is what it's called at the poker table. And, it is at least. I'm going to stake you. I'm going to back you, and then
yeah. So I don't know what you would call that. Is it like it's not ethnic food if it's Cambodian donuts? It's like Chinese food in America is like very Americanized. Mm-hmm. It's not like Chinese people come to America and eat Chinese food and they're like, what the hell is this? It's not my food.
Yep.
Like maybe a Cambodian donut should be considered I feel like there's some Cambodian restaurants out there that are like, no, that's not Cambodian food. Not even the Americanized
the national of food of Cambodia, the donut.
Yeah.
And Seth has tried lots of places, right? So you're a donut. You're a bit of a donut aficionado.
Yeah.
You don't appear happy that I brought up your donut aficionado-ness.
Oh, no, I just don't know. No, I'm I feel like we can do the whole segment on donuts.
No. That's okay. The game tonight, Framber Valdez and Shohei Ohtani, war, according to ESPN. This is a different wins above replacement than the one we were using before when we were talking about the Astros. But according to this, this is two guys tied as the sixth best pitcher in the American League right now. The only pitchers with a better war than Framber and Shohei Ohtani, Nathan Uvalde, Houston native, Alvin native, I believe, Texas. Garrett Cole, former Astro. I'm counting up. Shane McClanahan, Tampa Bay, always good. Eduardo Rodriguez of Detroit, how about that? And then Sonny Gray, who the Astros played the other night. They should have won that game the other night. That was the Altuve Grand Slam night. They should have won that game. That Sonny Gray's been awesome this year. So these are... this is a heavyweight fight tonight, Seth. Framber versus Shohei Ohtani. This will be fun.
Yeah. This on a Friday night. That's good stuff. It was a good crowd last night, it looked like. So Framber, who I feel like is still fighting for respect in some regards. It's hard for the Astros to play the underdog in anything much anymore. I do feel like Framber is more established in our eyes than he is in the eyes of baseball. And showdowns like this, especially with Framber, if he can continue to own Mike Trout the way he's so magnificently has, that'd be very fun. Please tell me this isn't an Apple TV game tonight.
Oh, that's a good question. Hang on a second. I'll check.
Friday night Apple TV games have been destroying. You might have to go to. Had at least a couple.
Dude, if it's not, it should be. If it's not, they don't know what the hell they're doing over at Apple, because this should be an Apple TV.
Are they allowed to flex the? No, they don't flex them. These were named from in the very beginning.
Yeah, so they obviously didn't know that it would be Framber versus Shohei Ohtani. It says here it starts at 7:10 on SNSW, whatever that is. Okay. So, anyways, I don't know if it's an Apple. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Not sure if it's an Apple TV game.
No, they play. You know, I know it's not an Apple TV one because the Chronicle banks every time there's a Apple TV game. They put a headline that says, "You can't watch the Astros game on TV tonight."
Oh,
here's how.
And it's trending. And, that article will trend huge.
That'll be like, well, the number one. Yeah, it's crazy. I say it every time. I told Greg Rajan from the Chronicle, you got Apple TV is the best thing that ever happened to you guys.
Yeah.
For getting trending
for clicks.
Stories.
Yeah.
All you have to, you can't watch this on TV tonight.
Yep.
And but here's how, and people click on it.
I think one of the questions that people had about the Astros coming into this year was just like, okay, how is Framber Valdez the same Framber with him being the number one guy on the staff? You know, these are, you know, Verlander. Framber's been the best pitcher at times on this staff, but he's like last year. Verlander was the number one. You know, he pitched like a one Framber did last year. But I think it's just a little different when you're the perceived leader of the staff like that, and he's adapted very, very nicely. Nine quality starts out of 11 starts. And the only two times he has not had a quality start is when they wouldn't let him wear his uniform of choice.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Because it was Astros. It was City Connect tonight, right?
City Connect night at one of them, and then the opening night they had to wear the gold numbers. Remember the So that cost.
I like those uniforms.
The gold numbers.
Are they gonna bring those out? Yeah, are they bringing those out again, or is that just strictly a World Series observance, one time only?
I don't know. Yeah,
I haven't noticed whether they've worn them again or not.
They're sharp. Then. Amy bought one.
Yeah.
Altuve.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a good juice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are we on the Astropolis? The downtown.
Good question. Yeah.
Combo retail, commercial, I don't know, maybe a little light industry or whatever they were going to build around the stadium there, which I said should be called the Astropolis. I bet they're trying to let everything die down a little bit so they can jump in and grab that name without paying me my propers.
Did you check to see if that like astropolis.org or astropolis.com is available or anything like that?
I had at the time, but the thing is, this is one of those things where it seems like no big deal to pay GoDaddy like $15 to grab a domain name.
Yeah.
But then after you do it like 78 times and you're squatting on 78 domains, right. It adds up. It adds up.
It's like subscriptions.
So that's how that's going to be the tragic story of Seth Payne. Someday when they do a rockumentary about me, they're like, he had an insatiable appetite for locking down domain names.
Yes.
So astropolis.com. I'm guessing it's taken.
Yeah.
I could have it for $5,000 a year or $5,000.
Oh, someone's got, okay, that's what you'd have to, that's what the squatter is charging?
Maybe that's what's holding Crane back. Maybe you can't afford the $4,999 to buy the yeah. premium domain, astropolis.com.
Damn you, Jose Abreu. If he wasn't spending $20 million on Abreu.
You know what I get? Astropolis.ai for just $60.
Ooh, now that feels like that's a Seth Payne URL right there. Are you squatting on any URLs right now?
Let me see. I actually like relinquished a bunch of them because of what we had talked about.
Yeah.
I think I still got SethCPayne.com.
Okay.
Doing nothing with it. Yeah.
Okay. Because you got that little YouTube channel that you got working right. What's your YouTube subscriptions up to?
Websites are dead.
Yeah.
4,000.
That's good.
The problem is if you try to lock down your domain name or anything for like across different social media sites and everything, it's a full-time damn job. Oh, I've got PopeZaza.com. I've got
so you did get that.
I've got PopeZaza.com. I've got SethCPayne.com. And I've got FlowJoint.com, which was like that was going to be like a health supplement website of some sort for basically people with orthopedic issues.
Okay.
But I lost interest. That was a COVID project, I think.
Okay. Okay.
I held for I bought the 5-year plan.
I was just going to say, like, obviously you still have, you're holding out some level of hope, but you got, oh.
Yeah. And I still haven't died of COVID. Yeah.
True.
Sir? Yeah. Maybe a little advertisement for FlowJoint right there.
A minute
I founded the website FlowJoint.com in the heat of COVID, and I have yet to die from it.
9517, the best day is National No Bra Day. Okay, I don't know that exists.
That's a thing?
It should be. Go reserve that URL. National No Bra Day.com.
There's another one. Every day is No Bra Day for me.
Yeah,
so like,
same.
I'm going to celebrate that.
Same.
Like, I haven't found a name yet or a case yet for me.
Okay, so Sean Bajani is here. Adam Spillane, Sean Bajani.
Morning,
hey,
guys.
Hey, what's going on, dude? Is Jose Abreu snapping out of it?
I don't know if he's going to. By snapping out of it, that means like reverting to the Jose Abreu of old.
Yeah.
Probably not, but being a serviceable Major League Baseball player, I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Recent numbers lend itself to be true.
Yeah.
The other day.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Seth.
Ever since he hit that home run, he is batting .130, which is above .100.
Yeah. It's a three digit number.
I mean, he's not like Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman, you know, where they've significantly improved their batting average over the course of the last couple of weeks.
Right.
But being a run producer, like he almost went Oppo Taco last night.
He almost did. Almost. Oppo Taco. What did you hear, Spo?
I talked to a Twins coach the other day. He's like, it's definitely better than we thought he was going to be. And they told us that he can't hit a fastball, and then he turns on 102 against Duran. So
yeah.
He's certainly getting better.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, man, we played some audio from Bregman a little bit earlier in the show. I mean, his audio you sent us last night, Adam. Adam Spillane and Sean Bajani on In the Loop today. And it's just, yeah, like Tucker and Bregman have been slow starters before. There's never been a point during those slow starts where we itemize their line drives or their hard hit balls like we're doing with Abreu. There's a lot of rationalization going on right now with Abreu.
You know, the infusion of advanced statistics, you know, exit velo, all this stuff. I feel like when things aren't good, especially with Abreu, you have to lean more and more on that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that bugs the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because just watch the games,
yeah.
You know, just watch the games. And when you ask me that, like, is he improving? I say, yeah, he is a little bit, but the average isn't showing it.
No.
The on base percentage necessarily isn't showing like a lot of those
hitting for more power
fundamental numbers that we're seeing.
Yeah.
Don't show it.
Yeah.
But if you watch the game, like he's affecting it more.
Yeah.
I would say,
I'm going to ask you guys one question. That we haven't actually handled ourselves, Sean, which has surprised me because it just came to me. But I'd love to hear from you guys. Like, what's more likely, James Harden or DeAndre Hopkins back to? Oh, I know.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah, that's one of the things we're going to discuss. You know, I think I have that coming up in our Localize It segment for the guys. And not even just those two, but there's been a lot of reunion talk lately. I mean, Pat Beverly, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, and I wanted to ask Adam and Figgy and all of our listeners, you know, kind of like what you said, Seth, like, what's the best case scenario? What makes the most sense? What would be like the biggest disaster, you know, amongst any of those reunions, if in fact they were to actually happen?
I think it's a scenario Seth pointed out a little bit earlier, where if the Rockets give Harden a max deal and he just gets old, you're stuck with a boat anchor of an NBA contract. Is that your worst case scenario?
Yeah, the 4-year aspect of it is tough.
Like, yeah,
that one, if I'm them, it would be tough for me to swallow if he says it's 4 years or I'm not coming back. Then at that point, if it's me, I'm probably saying, okay, go stay in Philly.
Okay, of all those guys, as media members, you guys both, Sean Bajani, Adam Spillane, go to a lot of press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Purely from a soundbite standpoint, of all those guys, who is the one that you guys would want? Like, who's the presser you would most
Pat
look
Beverly.
For? Beverly would be? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know, Beverly doesn't exist, like, in a singular connotation, right? Because I feel like if Beverly were to come, that means like it's like him and Harden would be a package deal. Like, yeah. I don't foresee Beverly coming back without James Harden.
No, he's gonna go where the job is.
Like, Beverly is.
Oh yeah, he's gonna go where the job.
I think he would, but
he's not the type of guy who's like, no, I'm only gonna play for a winning team. No, I think that he, in all honesty, it's probably better for him to be with a young team because he has a whole lot more influence on a younger team than he does on an older team. You just saw with the Lakers, they got rid of him pretty quickly as soon as they had the opportunity.
I'll tell you this, he's number two on my list of guys that I would actually like to have back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily foresee that. But I'm going to talk about this, with respect to this topic later on. Like, there is one guy in particular in that conversation that is getting an incredibly bad rap for a reputation that he had here.
Ooh.
That I think is not deserving of it anymore.
That's in Localize It?
Localize
1040,
it, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's Localize It. All right, good deal. Sean Bajani, Adam Spillane. This is Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Leasing. You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2 on Odyssey Station. Seth, happy National Donut Day. Have a great weekend. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.